I want to read from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 today as we begin our time together. If you're new to the Bible or if you don't know who Paul is, Paul was a former murderer turned follower of Jesus who over time plants churches all over the world, and he changes the face of Christianity in the movement. And I like to say this, if there's hope for Paul, there's hope for all. Amen. 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 So here we go. Let's dive in today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. This is what it says. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Just one verse over your life today. Just one verse. I want to read it again one more time. And this time I need you to proclaim it wherever you are. For we are God's handiwork. All right, come on, be helped. Let's do this wherever you are. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do great works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let me help you today. Because I would guess some of you have come into this place and you wake up every day with the sense that you are just average, that you're just ordinary. But when you get out of bed, there's part of you that wants your life to have meaning. There's part of you that says, my life matters and I want to make a difference. And I believe, church, that God has not designed you to be normal people, but I believe that God has uniquely gifted you and created you to be his people. And so the title of my message today, I'm going to give you the title, and then I'm going to pray for us, and you can tell seven people the title. But the title of my message today is You're Not Normal. You're not normal. So let me pray for you, and then we'll turn to seven people. And you can actually mean it when you say it this time, right? Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray. God, we invite you into this space. And we make this our prayer today, that the meditations of our heart and the words of our mouth will be pleasing in your sight. God, I pray that right now in this message, anything that is not of you would be removed, and anything that you would like to say would be put in this place, in this space, in this time, so you would speak to our lives and to our hearts. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus who's going to speak to us today. Amen. 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 Hey, turn to seven people and say, you're not normal. You're not normal. You're not normal. So much fun. You're not normal yet. You know, I just have to admit right now, I really don't know how I'm going to get through this message with all these blinking lights. And then I was reminded last night that somebody said, Brad, that was your stupid idea. So I love the lights. They're fantastic. Here's what I want to do today. Because we have this whole arcade theme going on, and everybody loves Nintendo. You remember this when you were a kid. Everybody loves Nintendo. I almost called this a message with Mario. A message with Mario. And so as I've been preparing for this message, I've done a lot of research on the life of Mario. But this is the one question that I keep coming back to. And maybe you've come back to this question repeatedly. But the question is, why does Mario look so goofy? Anybody else? Why does he look so good? Like, how do I say this? I'm not a gamer. I'm not somebody who spends significant amounts of time thinking about the existential foundation of a make-believe character whose premise is based on pixels. Like, that's not how I spend most of my time. But why does he look so goofy? And what I found was that the author of Mario was limited with a 16 by 16 box when he created his life. He tells us back in the day, you were given a 16 by 16 box, and you had to fit the entire character within that box. And he said, back in the day, characters were normal. They were boring. Like, they were lifeless. Every character in every game looked the same. And so he said, I decided I wanted to do something different. And so he said, I wanted to create the biggest head I could possibly create within a 16 by 16 box. Amen? And then there was no room left over, which is why he has a short body and a short torso. And then as he began to create Mario, what he found was you couldn't depict a mouth. And so he's like, well, what else do we do? And so he gives him a big nose and a giant mustache. And he also realized you can't depict hair in pixels. And so he decided to give him a big old hat. And that's how you get the life of Mario. And so when you look at him, what makes him so goofy is he has a cumbersome head. He has a small body. He's got a Pinocchio nose. He's got a mustache of the Steve Harvey. Come on, somebody. Amen. I am jealous of that mustache. He's got a big old mustache, and he's got a hat to cover that giant dome piece. But what makes it even better is that the author decided to give him a profession. Anybody out there, what does Mario do as a profession? He's a plumber. No offense to any plumbers out here. I am so grateful for each of you when my pipes burst at 2 a.m. and I don't know how to put PVC pipes back together. I am grateful for you. But you are not known for your manicured hands. Like, we don't say, wow, you've got plumber's hands. We say, you've got plumber's, stop, don't even say it. Don't even say it. But you take a guy that's got a big head, and he's got a small body, and he's got a big nose, and he looks kind of goofy, and he looks kind of weird, and then you give him a profession that you wouldn't even begin to think is a life where you would do something amazing. And what Mario does is he goes out and he saves this damsel in distress, this princess that is under the curse, and the city that is under the curse of Bowser. Like, the storyline is palatable. I love it. And here's what I've come to believe about Mario, is there is nothing special about Mario, but the reason Mario does great things is because he actually believes he's special. He's goofy, he's a plumber, and yet he does special things. And this is what I want to connect to your life today, is there's nothing special about people who do great things. There's nothing special about people who do great things. Great things happen when you believe you're special. And I just got to throw this question in front of your face today, because I know it's a weird question, and I know it's like an all-skate question, and everybody gets a trophy question. But right now, I want to ask you, do you actually believe that you're special? Because when I think about that question, I think about my life, and I think, well, I'm just pretty normal. Would you ever just say, I'm pretty normal? Like, when you look at the scope of your life and what you've been through, most of us, we just go to school and we grow up believing that we're going to be professional athletes because our parents have put us in all these practices and competitions. And then you give up on that dream because you realize, well, it was their dream. It was never your dream to begin with. And you decide to get a degree. Maybe you went to college, you get a job. And then it gets even better from there, because then you get a cookie cutter house. You get a cookie cutter spouse, you get cookie cutter jobs, you get cookie cutter kids, you get cookie cutter dogs, and you wake up and you have the same routines, and then your schedules are busier than what they should be, and you are riddled with anxiety and worry and fear because the world tells you that it is normal. Amen. Does anybody out there resonate with this? But then there's part of me that says, that's not how I wake up in the morning. I don't know how you wake up in the morning, but when my feet hit the ground in the morning, other than needing a desperate cup of coffee, when my feet hit the ground in the morning, there's something inside of me that says, Brad, you are here for something special. You are here to do great things. God has put something on your life where you are meant to change people's lives, trajectory, and you are to help people in this world. Like, I feel like I'm called to do great things in this life. I wonder if that's how you feel as well. But the tension you're wrestling with is that you're normal because you don't believe you're special. And the reason why you actually don't think that there's a God who has good plans for you is because you haven't come to the fact and you haven't come to the realization that God has actually made you special. And what I love is that Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, he says, for we are God's handiwork. I read that and I was like, can you give us more, Paul? Like, what do you mean by that? And I started thinking about this. If the author of Mario was bored with fitting Mario in a 16 by 16 box. Don't you think the creator of the universe would be bored making all of us to be normal and look the same? Is this just me? I think there's a reason God gave me these big ears. It's not so I can hear better, because I can tell you, I still can't hear. My wife will attest to that. But I think God gave me these big ears because God's got a sense of humor. He's funny. Like, you can laugh at my big ears. And here's my fear in life is that I get older, they're only get bigger, they're only gonna get hairier, and like, it's gonna get scarier as I get older, but yo, you're gonna have something to laugh at because God is a comedian. Handiwork right here, guys. You can't laugh at me. I can laugh at you. You got a big head. Because you got a massive brain. God has made you intelligent and beautiful. And what I love about you is that you're extremely smart, and I'm jealous of you, but you do have a big head. Why? Because God is the master at crafting people in his image. And Paul says that you are God's handiwork. You are God's handiwork, meaning this, that you are a work of God's fingertips. You are a masterpiece of God's hands. And I don't think we can actually grasp the depth of what we are saying when we say that you're a handiwork of God until you dive into scripture and we begin to find these powerful scriptures that talk about the power of God's hand over your life. Here's what it says in Psalms chapter 8. It says, when I consider the heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? What are human beings that you would even care for us? Like, you look at the universe and we are like these itty bitty little people who God cares for. I love what Job 12 says. It says, in his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. Look, I don't know what you believe about God, but what I love about what Job says is that every life is in the hand of God. The breath that you just took without even thinking about comes from the hand of God. You should give God thanks right now, because that's good news that you're still here and you're still breathing. Church, this is my favorite verse. Isaiah 41 says this, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. And he said, I will strengthen you and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God's handiwork is all over your life. And I need you to know that God is an artisan. God is a master at his craft and his skill. Meaning God never created you to be a number on the Enneagram. God never designed you to fit into a profile on a piece of paper or have a label over your life for the rest of your life. Can I keep pushing today? God did not make you to live your life through a filter and some selfie tool, thanks to Snapchat, that helps you find your identity in the digital world. No. God has uniquely created you and designed you to be exactly who he wants you to be, not who the world wants you to be. And I need you to hear today, church, that you are special, that you are marked, and that you are protected. Three things I want you to hear today. You are special, you are marked, and you are protected. Hey, wherever you're watching from today, we're all going to say this together. Put it in the chat below. But right now, say, I am special. I am marked. I am protected. All right, all three, you ready? We're going to do these quickly. Hang on tight. You ready for this? Everybody say, I am special. Here's how I know that you're special. Because in you, you have 46 chromosomes. You're like, oh, man, we're going all scientific today. Just hang tight. I'm going to make sense in a second. 46 chromosomes in your body. 23 come from your father, and 23 come from your mother. And connected to each chromosome are dozens and thousands of genes. Meaning that if you were to put together all of the possible combinations that could come from the genes in your body, you would come up with this number. And I'm not a mathematician, and I don't even really know what number that is, but it's probably somewhere around 70 trillion. Meaning this, there are trillions more possible combinations in this life than there are people who have ever existed in this world. Yeah, how do I say this? There is nobody in this world right now that is like you. And how do I know that? Because the Bible tells us that when we give God praise, we say, there is no one like you, God. And you've been created in the image of God. And if there is nobody like God and you're in his image, then that means there is no one like you. There's nobody like you in the past. There's nobody like you in the future. There's nobody in this world right now that has your name, your identity, your reason, and your purpose in this world. There's only one of you, and you are special. Come on, turn to two people and say, I'm special. Everybody say, I am marked. I am marked. You don't have to say it twice because it always gets really weird when we do it twice. But the only way I can illustrate this is through my son. My son, he always asked when he was a little kid for scissors and glue and all these weird things. And one day he said, Dad, can I have some felt? And he came out ready for school. And this is what he was wearing. I looked at him, and I said, son, what are we doing in this moment? We're going for the vagabond look? It's like Burning Man meets Aladdin. Like, I don't know what we're doing here. And I said, buddy, I love you, but you're going to have to take that felt jacket off. And mom swooped in to save the day, because mom always saves the day. I love you, babe. Mom always saves the day. And she said, hon, let him wear that felt jacket. It's special to him. It's different from everybody else's, what everybody else is wearing. I said, it's different, all right. And I said, if you let that boy go to school with that ugly felt piece of fabric on his back, he is going to be marred and scarred and made fun of, and he is going to be marked for the rest of his life as Felt Boy. And she said, I know, but he's different. He's different. He's marked. You know what's interesting in the Bible is the Bible uses this word occasionally. The name is pagan. And I got really interested in this word years ago, because often we associate pagans with sinners and really bad people. And then as I unpacked the word, what I found was the word pagan, it means that you are unmarked, that you're average. You look like everybody else. You do what everybody else does. There's nothing unique about you. You're just typical. And I came to this realization that the piece of fabric over my kid's life, yes, it made him different, but the word handiwork that Paul uses here also means that you are a fabric of God's fingertips, meaning that the moment you accept Jesus into your life is the moment that you're marked. In fact, Paul says this in Ephesians 1:13. He says, when you believe in my name, he says, you will be marked with the seal of the promise of the Holy Spirit on your life. Meaning you are different. You are unique. You aren't typical or normal. When you believe in a heavenly Father who loves you, you are marked and you are different. And this is good news. It's really good news. Everybody say, I am protected. Yeah, it's good. I like that one. This is my favorite. Can I tell you, this is my favorite one, church. I'm about to get fired up in just a second. And so if you see my face all of a sudden look angry, just know I'm passionate and I love you very much. Help me, church. Everybody say, I am protected. Yeah, yeah. So when the authors came out with Super Mario Brothers And they realized that they had not just something new, but they had a new brand. They realized that they didn't want people using Mario's image and likeness for purposes other than what they had intended. Which is why today, I actually can't put Mario on the screen. And so our producer made a wonderful picture of me. I said the other day, I said on Saturday night service, I said, I'm grateful that he gave me big biceps. And somebody else said, did anybody notice that, like, your head is massive? It is giant. It is giant. It's pretty big. Thank God I have small ears. Look at that, small itty-bitty ears. It's my dream world, I guess. But they wanted to protect his image so that Mario would only be used in ways that the author intended. And so in 1985, Mario was bought with a price. He was copyrighted so that they could protect the original work of the author. And Paul says in Ephesians 2, he says, you are God's handiwork. But then he follows it up. Because what makes you God's handiwork is when he says, because you've been created in Christ Jesus. Meaning this, you've been bought with a price. And it is through the cross that you find forgiveness and God is birthing something new in you. And when you experience the power of the cross in your life, I want you to know you are under the copyright of Christ, that you are protected. You are under his authorship. You are under his hand. You are under his creation, which means people can't steal your joy. It means people can't steal the freedom that God has put on your life. It means people can't rob you from the identity that God has put on your life. See, there are haters in this world. There are enemies and there are haters in this world. And the haters are always the one that want to make you feel normal. They say, not gifted enough, not funny enough, not witty enough, not skilled enough. You don't have the work ethic, you don't have the grit, you don't have the passion, you don't have what it takes to do this. You should probably just go do something that's normal. And this is not just in the world kind of thing. This is a spiritual thing, church. Because the enemy's goal is to make you believe that every day you get up, it should just be routine. It should just be average. That when you get up, you're just gonna do the normal things that everybody else does. Because if you look like everybody else, then you're not stepping into the purpose that God has for you. And I'm here to proclaim today to you on the best weekend ever that you need to leave that lie behind. You need to leave that life behind because you're not normal. God's hand is upon your life. God has designed you for these specific things in this world. I want you to know, church, that the old is gone and the new brand is here in Christ. God has showered. Come on, celebrate that. God has showered you with his kindness. He has chosen you for greatness. You are marked in his image. You have been drawn near to him under his hand, and you have been freed from the sin and the bondage and curse of sin in your life. What I know is that God says, do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. And don't live in worry and anxiety for the rest of your life. Why? Because I am here to uphold you. I am here to strengthen you. My righteous right hand is upon your life and you are protected. You are special and you are marked for my purpose. And I want you to know you're not normal. You're not normal. Turn to three people right now and just say, you're not normal. Put in the chat, you're not normal. But watch what happens. Watch what happens. I'm preparing for this message, and I don't know what the scripture is going to be. And God always speaks to me when I'm running. And God just says, hey, I want you to use this passage because you are my handiwork. And so I pull out my phone. This is how I take notes when I'm running. I text myself. Anybody do this? Am I crazy? I text myself. And so I said, hey, Siri. And my Siri is from Australia. It says, "G'day, mate." I love it. I said, "Hey, I am God's handiwork." And this is what happened. It auto-corrected. I'm like, "Hey, mate, that's not what I'm saying. You are God's handiwork." Get it, Siri? And he did it again. "You are God's sandywork." I was like, "Maybe you want me to go down this road for a minute. Let's go down this road. Can we just go down this rabbit trail? Let's talk about sandywork for just a second." You remember when you were a kid? Remember when you were a kid and you would go to the beach? Or maybe you took your kids to the beach. And when your kids, like, there's something about the sand that says build a castle or dig a hole. Just pick one. It doesn't really matter. And you don't know the laws of nature. You don't know oceans and seas. You don't know as a kid that they have tides that come in and go out. And you're like, "Well, I want to make sure that when I build this, I build a moat. And I want water to come in." So if you're like me, and I'm not the brightest crayon in the box, the reality is I like to build my castle right next to the ocean, so I can get the water to pour in and go around the castle. And it's never big enough. It's never big enough. I'm like, "I'll finish it tomorrow." As a kid, "I'll finish it tomorrow." You remember getting up at 5 a.m.? Or maybe your kids get up at 5 a.m. like, "Let's go finish that sandcastle." And you're like, "It's probably gone." And you get out there, and it's been wiped away. It's gone. Your sandy work is gone. Because what you didn't anticipate were the tides. You're like, "Make it plain, Pastor Brad. Let me make it plain in this moment. Sandy work in your life is the moment, it is the thing that you didn't see coming. There are times in your life where God has said, 'You are my handiwork,' but then you have things that you didn't see coming in your life, and you don't feel like God's handiwork. You kind of feel like sandy work. You feel like a sandcastle that's been wiped out and taken to sea." And Paul does something interesting. In Ephesians chapter 2, he says, "You are God's handiwork." But then if you just flip over to chapter 3, he says, "But I ask you, therefore, do not be discouraged because of my sufferings for you." Handiwork. Suffering. Handiwork. Sandy work. Paul is writing this letter behind bars. Paul is giving this letter to Tychicus to go to give to the church in Ephesus. He is slipping it through a set of bars. Conditions aren't favorable. He's in suffering. And what's even more fascinating to me is when Paul goes to Rome, he's carrying out God's good plans. God's got great things for him to do. He says, "Go to Rome and share the gospel." And when he gets to Rome, he gets arrested, and he doesn't even know why. There is no reason why Paul is arrested. So Paul, when he pens that you are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus, is going through an experience that makes him feel like maybe he's been forgotten. It's the thing that he didn't see coming. I wonder, what is the sandy work in your life? What is happening in your life that makes you feel like God has forgotten you? See, sometimes the thing that you didn't see coming was that your white blood cell count didn't get where you needed it to be. Sometimes it's the moment when the chemo treatment doesn't work. The thing you didn't see coming was that you were going to go from a two-income home to a one-income home, that you were going to have a job and suddenly you were going to be fired. It's when your teenager doesn't understand how much they are valued and loved. It's the moment when you're caring for somebody who's got dementia and you love them, but they don't even know who you are anymore. It's the moment when you get the letter that says you didn't get accepted into the college. It's the moment when you apply for a job and they tell you that you're skilled and you're good enough, but they never call you back. It's the moment that you spend your entire life doing this one thing and you get to the end and realize, maybe that wasn't the thing that God had for me all along. And you can feel instead of God's handiwork, you feel like it's a mess because you didn't see it coming. And we get in these moments when we didn't see what was coming where we start to question, God, what is your plan for me? Like, I thought I was supposed to do great things in this world. Which is why Paul finishes the statement. And this is what he says. Can we just finish Ephesians 2:10? Because we've only read part of it today. He said, for you are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to what? Do good works. You've been created by God, saved by Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for you in advance. Hear me say this today. I don't think it's always that God prepares a specific work in advance for you. But I believe that God prepares you in advance for a specific work. See, a lot of times what happens in our lives is we think God's good plans are the relationships that we have, the people we date, the people that we're going to end up marrying. God's good plans are the kids we have, the jobs we hold, the influence that we have, the titles that we get as leaders. Like, we often think those are God's good plans and the good works that he has for my life. But then you have these moments where it doesn't pan out. You didn't see it coming. And there's this reality where you feel like God has given up on you. And I need you to hear this, church. You aren't made for those specific things. What I know is that God is preparing you in advance to do great things, to do good things. Can I say, maybe God has got you in the confusion. Maybe he's got you in the chaos. Maybe he's got you in the frustration because he has already prepared you in advance to do great things because you have been created in his image and by his hand. If I could just say it plainly today, you are God's plan for the world. That's it, church. You are God's plan for the world. And he has been preparing you for this moment right now. Right now. Jesus says it this way in John chapter 14. He says, very truly, I tell you, if you believe in me, then you will do the works that I am doing and you will do even greater things than I'm doing because I'm going back to the Father. How do I say this? How is it possible that we could do greater things, than one of the most influential people in the entire face of the earth? You know, there's a lot of things Jesus didn't have that you and I have. Greater things. You ready for this, church? Greater things is the realization that Jesus didn't have kids. He didn't date people. He didn't have a family. And God has given you kids and a family and these beautiful things in your life. And a lot of times what we see is ordinary and average and normal. Taking out the trash, doing the laundry, driving the kids to practice. We just think there's normal things. But I'm telling you, when you begin to fathom the power and the love of Jesus over your life, you know that laundry is not normal. You know that driving your kids to practice is not normal. It's an expression of the faith that you have in the Father who loves you. And your kids and your spouse know, oh, there's a deeper care here. You're going to do great things. Jesus didn't have social media. Do you know this? He didn't have TikTok. He didn't have Instagram. Maybe he had Facebook because it's ancient. Is that too much? I got teenagers telling me that's too much. I'm sorry. I apologize. He didn't have a platform. And yet you do. Maybe God wants you to use your words and your videos and the things that you create and make to make an impact in somebody's life. Maybe somebody's gonna wake up today and they're thinking, today's the last day for me, but something you post has changed their heart and their life forever and made them rethink who they could be. That's the power that God has given you. God, Jesus didn't have a business. He didn't have a job when he was in ministry. Somebody's like, he was a carpenter. Listen, I get that. But he also didn't have a job when he was in ministry. People were bankrolling his ministry. You have a job. Some of you, you own businesses. And the reality is you're not there to pay the bills. You're there to carry out the purpose that God has put on your life within that job. I like to say it this way. I've been mentoring this young man. And he comes into my office, and it's one of my favorite lines. He'll say, Pastor Brad, if I just had an office at B-Hope, you have no clue how many lives I could change. And I say, dude, if you had an office at B-Hope, you don't realize how detrimental that would be to the kingdom. God has you in this job selling cars because of the connections you make, the level of care that you provide for people, the passion that you have in your eyes. When you go to the gym, you walk differently than other people at the gym. See, this guy is, he said, I don't get lifts anymore because I'm too busy sharing my life about what God is doing. The other day, he's got some guy in front of him and he's telling them what God has done in his life. And next thing he knows, one stranger pulls up, another rolls in, and he said, I have five random people I didn't even know at the gym asking me about God and faith and heaven and hell. And he said, one of the most freeing things you've ever told me was just say, I don't know when you don't know. And he's like, most of the time, I don't know. But what I do know is that God has prepared me in advance for this moment and for this time to make a difference in this world. Why? Because I'm not normal. I'm not normal. I am special. I am marked and I am protected by the power and the right hand of God. God has purpose in my life and I want to shine light in the darkness. That is his mission. And some of you today, you're like, I want that for my life. I want that right now. Because you were never meant to live a normal life, but you were prepared in advance to do great things. Church, stand to your feet with me. I'm going to ask you to do something that's really weird. I want you to close your eyes in this moment. Get your stretches in and then close your eyes. And I just want you to just hear what Jesus says. He says this, close your eyes with me. Everyone, nobody look. Listen, here's what he says. He says, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do greater things. There is nothing special about people who do great things. Great things happen when you believe in the name of Jesus. You will always be normal if you live from your own desires, your own flesh, your own sin, your own disobedience, your own ego. If you live your life just for you, you will always be normal because you have an entire world of people who are doing the exact same thing. And today is the moment it changes. Leave normal behind and let God prepare you for the great things that he has. But it begins by claiming his name over your life. It's when you believe in Jesus that everything changes. And so nobody looking, I just want to ask today, if you want to move from normal to doing great things, but you don't have Jesus' name over your life, today if you just say, I would love for my life to change, would you just, nobody look, just raise your hand. Be bold in this moment. Raise your hand and say, I believe God's made me to do great things, and I'm leaving normal behind. Yes, amen, 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 amen. You can put your hands down. I'm going to give you the chance right now for you to receive the victory that God wants to give you. Romans 10:9 says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and he was raised from the grave, you will be saved. And today is the best weekend ever because today is the day that you claim his name over your life. And so all together, church, we're going to pray this prayer. and we're gonna help all these new believers into the kingdom. Would you say this with me? Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that he gave his life to forgive my sins, and he was raised from the grave so that I may have life. I receive your grace by faith. Come into my life. I will follow you. Amen. 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 Come on, let's proclaim victory today.